You want to be knowing the local EMS service numbers in your area, or even the 112 number. That should put you through to an emergency service or emergency hotline, and they'll dispatch the required services to you.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. The Curaprox Soother supports the normal development of gums, teeth, palate and jaw and ensures optimal nasal breathing. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
We told you we'll bring you a whole series to make sure that you are prepared or hopefully just informed. We've had some amazing chats in the studio, and today we're bringing in two medics. I must also say they're the largest, tallest medics that I've ever seen in my life. Wayne and Brandon, welcome to the Baby Brunch studio.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Wayne, let's start with you. COO of Alta EMS, Advanced Life Support Paramedic. What do you do?
Ma'am, we supply paramedics to the event and entertainment industry. So obviously legislation requires that you have medical staff on site at all events, and that's what we do. We come in and we supply you with paramedics at all your events.
Brandon Buerta, General Manager, Alta EMS, Advanced Life Support Practitioner. What do you do? So when people say, what do you do for a living, Brandon, what do you tell them?
I do a job that is extremely difficult at times, yeah, but also something that I have a great passion for. Mm. I think thing that I often get asked is, what's the worst thing you've ever seen? And my answer to that is always the payslip. And the reason for it is I obviously try and block things out because of, I mean, it can be extremely taxing on a person.
Yeah.
But I just do my best at the end of the day to try and save a life.
Often when I'm at my events, I see the medic on site and I'm the first to crack a joke, you know. I'll go past them and go, hey, you took my breath away. You know, who's going to revive me now? Or I'll walk past them and go, hey. So most of the medics, you know, I know, but it's because they do such an important job that you always want to make friends almost with the person that's going to save a life. But let's start with do's and don'ts. So if you believe a family member is in trouble, you're at home with someone and you know that they are at a time where you need to call a medic. First of all, how do I know it's the time to call the medic? How do you know if someone is passing?
Sure. So, you know, it boils down to the training, but not everyone has that sort of training. But there will be signs that there's something tragically going on, something wrong. And normally I always say, listen to your gut. Your gut will tell you there's something going on here like that. And any mom would know, any dad would know, there's something definitely wrong here. And so awareness of knowing who to call, that's the next question.
Okay, so who do we call in a situation?
Okay, so it boils down to knowing your local EMS services in the area. People always want to phone 10111, but 10111 is going to divert you through, if you can get through firstly, but it's going to divert you through the completely wrong people. You want to be knowing the local EMS service numbers in your area, or even the 112 number. That should put you through to an emergency service or emergency hotline, and they'll dispatch the required services to you.
So I phone my local EMS hotline, yeah, and who answers the phone? Like who will answer the phone call?
So it's generally a call taker that will pick up the call initially. But also in some of the smaller areas, where you've got very small ambulance services, it might be the ambulance crew themselves that are answering the call when you call through to them. If you're dialing 112 from your cell phone, it gets answered in a national call center, and then they direct your call to the correct call center for the area that you're in.
Right.
So, yeah, it varies who you're going to be speaking to.
Okay, so that's a good thing to add to our list then, to find out what the local EMS number is to dial. What are some of the immediate steps to do? So what do I do and what do I avoid? You know that there's a patient, a person.
Yeah.
There's someone that needs an ambulance, that needs one of you guys as our experts, as our paramedics on site. What can I do in the meantime so that I don't interfere with the medic's work?
So if once the medics arrive on scene, it's to try and give them as much information as you possibly could. And that information would be what has actually happened, so we know what we're dealing with, type of allergies the patient might have. That's critical because some of the medication we carry and might be giving could have adverse reactions to the patient with what they might be allergic to. Secondly is knowing the medical history, the background of the patient like that as well. So as much information as you possibly can, and also what type of medication the patient might be on, because there could be certain drugs we carry that might interfere with the medication the patient is actually on like that.
Is there anything that we need to do before you arrive?
Yeah, I think what's important is that we want to prevent further harm. Yeah. So if, for example, the patient is having a seizure or whatever the case might be, you want to keep them safe by moving things that are around them that they could possibly injure themselves on. However, with a fitting patient, you don't want to put anything into their mouths. There's this old wives tale that if somebody's fitting, you must put a spoon in their mouth. The thing is, it's extremely dangerous. You can end up causing airway obstructions, breaking teeth, all that type of stuff. If a person's having a fit, just leave them to fit. Just make the area around them safe.
Okay.
The same, if a person is unconscious, turn them onto their side to protect their airways. But don't physically try and restrain anybody or, like I say, try and stop things from happening, because they're going to carry on happening even though you're trying to stop them.
Especially a seizure, it's a very violent thing, and you can actually cause more damage to them by trying to stop the seizure. Just make it safe around them and let them have their seizure.
We've had two incidences here on our Baby Brunch podcast where there's been a pool and a child.
Sure.
What do we do in that instance? Child has fallen into the pool, we're waiting for the medic. What do I do?
Obviously, you've got to remove the child from the pool, but be aware that you too may become a victim. So don't jump into the pool if you cannot swim yourself. If you can't swim, grab a pool net or the brush and try and pull the person to the edge of the pool to remove them from the pool. But obviously very important that we do remove them from the pool. And then check if they're breathing, if there's any signs of life. Because that information also needs to be given across to the emergency services when you are phoning for the emergency services, because that'll determine what resources are going to be dispatched to you. And then if you do know CPR, and I'd encourage all moms and dads to learn CPR, and there are no signs of life, then I think it is imperative that CPR is started, because the sooner we can get it started, the better the chances that there'll be a positive outcome.
What do we do first, CPR or make the call to EMS?
Well, the guidelines are very different now. But if you don't know CPR and you want to rather make the call first, that would be my opinion, is make the call first. And then what's happening now is most call centers can actually talk you through CPR. So if you can tell them that there are no signs of life, and they should ask you that, are there any signs of life? Can you check for a pulse? They can guide you through that. And in the same process can then assist you with doing CPR. That would be my best advice to parents or to anybody who finds a child in the pool.
I have seldom been in a situation where a medic arrives and everyone's calm.
No, never happens.
So which family member decides to talk to the medic? I mean, how do we find a spokesperson in this time, and what should we expect? So the ambulance arrives, and now what?
So like I said, you're arriving into chaos, and you're going to start treating. You want the best outcome. Well, we always know it's not always going to be the best outcome. So we had this discussion earlier, speaking to the most calmest person or the most person that is not in a panic state or not in a frantic state.
If you're alone?
You're normally going to get some sort of information out of a person. You know, in my years on the road like that, we've been able to speak to somebody. It hasn't been absolutely all fall down. We have been able to speak to somebody and get as much information as we possibly can, just to try and find out what happened. What are we actually dealing with here like that, so we can then carry on the treatment from there. But it is completely chaos, and especially arriving into a crowd, it's even worse.
If the paramedics arrive and they're taking away a person, do you give us a document? How do I know where they're going? What if I'm like, no, not that hospital, you know, this one? Do we need to have our medical aid cards available, or what do you need?
So absolutely. So remember, we will only remove a patient that has still got signs of life and that is breathing and is going to is going to be a possible outcome at a hospital. We will never remove a deceased person. That is left to somebody else to remove. So in the event that we take the person to hospital, it will be the nearest appropriate facility. And that's why we want to know, are you on a medical aid or not? If you're not on a medical aid, we'll take you to the government catchment areas, because government is very sticky about which patients go where. If it's a private hospital, we'll take you to the nearest appropriate facility. And that, what we mean by that, though, if you are a priority one critical patient, we don't want to be taking you to a facility that's not really geared for trauma or priority one patients. We want to take you to the facility that's best geared for that.
I cancelled my medical aid last week.
You're going to a government hospital. Unless you're in a financial position to pay privately.
Can you ride into the ambulance? Can I get in?
Yeah, they do allow you to, as family members, to go with like that, especially if there's a minor or just a loved one. They do. They don't want you really sitting at the back of the ambulance because it's not really safe as well. So they'll rather prefer you to sit in the front. But absolutely, there's not normally an issue with a loved one traveling with.
Yeah.
Have you ever arrived at a scene where you thought, this is not for the medic only? We need to call the police.
Oh, yeah.
Often. Unfortunately, yeah. it's something that happens often.
The attack on paramedics at the moment is absolutely ludicrous. It is happening so – there are actually hotspots they have designed or located in our community whereby you may not go in there without an SAP escort.
Yeah. Then there's also the other instances where we arrive on scene and it's a crime scene,
yeah.
An unnatural death. Then we have to involve the police as well. It's not optional because if it's an unnatural death, it becomes a crime scene. So yeah. Police have to come and investigate it.
Can I report a medic?
Absolutely. Health Professions Council of South Africa allows you and entitles you to report a paramedic or any medical practitioner. And the SANC, South African Nursing Council.
Yeah,
is for nurses. So you can report a paramedic or medical practitioner, should I say.
Why would I want to report a medic? What would...
Well, I mean, sometimes people feel that, there's been something done to the patient that was not called for, not justified at all. People might feel that there's been, some sort of neglect
or abandonment, yeah.
Malpractice. I mean, there's a whole lot of things. Just even if they're being unprofessional,
you can
report them. So,
if this is such a difficult topic for us as parents to even think or comprehend, because it has happened, you know, we've had many conversations here where a child has lost a life. Mm. How do you work through it?
It's a good question, and I think it depends on the individual. I will deal with things differently to the way Wayne will deal with them. To what another paramedic would deal with them. I'm lucky in that I have a very strong support structure. I did earlier on in my career suffer a bit of burnout. And from there, I then started seeing somebody. And today, still, if I'm feeling a bit flustered or overwhelmed, I'll make an arrangement to go and see them. And then also something that I've adopted is debriefing after a call with the people who are on the scene with me, and I find that helps big time, because you can reflect on exactly what you've experienced, what you've done, what you've done well, where you could have improved, and all of this sort of starts off that process of dealing with what you've just dealt with.
Unfortunately, in the EMS community, and I would even say in the SAP community, it's frowned upon to show signs that you're battling or that something has really affected you in a negative way. It's actually frowned upon, which is not right. We should be encouraging because people to seek help and to get as much help as they possibly can, because I don't believe they can function properly to do their job if they're not being debriefed themselves or getting the help that they need.
How can we help you as paramedics to do your job better, and how can we as a community be there for you? What can we do?
I think just by giving the support that we need when we arrive at an incident, you know, if, like, for example, what we've been speaking about earlier on, you'll be helping us by having the information that we require available.
Keeping us safe.
Yeah.
On scenes, keeping crowds away.
Yeah. And I think that's an issue. Wayne mentioned the red zones earlier on. You know, that there is a possibility that those red zones can be turned around to become green zones again.
Yeah.
But that all depends on the community.
Give it to us again. Okay, so there's a scene and we need to call a medic. There's an emergency. What do I do?
Call your know your local EMS number and call that number.
Okay.
Okay. Be prepared for the paramedics to arrive by having information available and keeping the patient safe as far as possible.
If you've done a CPR course or done a first aid course and it's safe to do so, then try and assist where possible, as long as you're safe.
That's important. You always need to be safe yourself. Yeah. Doesn't help that you become a victim yourself.
You don't want to be stopping on the N1, climbing out of your car and going to assist and get hit by 300 cars that are passing at the same time. So, yeah, make sure that you're safe.
While we're speaking about this, with accident scenes, everyone stops and...
Everyone wants to see, and everyone wants to post, and everyone wants to just...
What do we do? Like, when there's an accident, when are you obliged to stop as a witness? Do you keep going, or do you...
I think the best thing for anybody is, from a safety point, just keep going. Phone it in, report the accident scene, give the location.
Unless you're involved.
Unless you're involved, but just keep driving. Just keep driving.
Yeah, or unless you can provide assistance.
Yeah.
But if you see that other people are stopped and you do stop because you know first aid, for example, if you get out and you see that there's other first aiders on the scene and there's enough of them, get back into your vehicle and leave the scene. Don't hang around. Don't take photos. Don't become an obstacle or a danger to yourself and other people on the
scene. But my first aid knowledge is so much better.
Well, if you're the highest qualified first aider on the scene, then you're welcome to step in. If you're not...
And when the medics get there, give them a quick overview and get in your car and leave.
And report live on Instagram.
And report live on Instagram.
You have an extremely difficult job. And of all the people that I've ever interviewed, we were terrified of bringing you guys in here because... It must be very difficult to have to revive or declare or hold or explain and then have to debrief and therapy and talk and then come in here and give advice. So we want to say thank you for what you mean to society. Thank you for starting a business.
Thank you.
In order to help people.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. The Curaprox Soother supports the normal development of gums, teeth, palate, and jaw and ensures optimal nasal breathing.